Welcome to today's Planet Earth, Our Loving Home. On today's show, we feature the Interfaith Climate Summit, which took place in Uppsala, Sweden on November 28th and 29th, 2008. Unlike similar gatherings in which most participants are scientists, government officials, or NGO members, the attendees of this event were approximately 1,000 delegates of different religious groups from the five continents, as well as a number of government leaders, including Swedish Princess Victoria, Swedish Minister of Environment Andreas Carlgren, and Vice President of the European Commission Margot Wallström. The summit, organized by Swedish Archbishop of Uppsala Anders Wedgrid, involved a series of discussions, lectures, and seminars as delegates explored some of Earth's most urgent climate issues and the responsibilities that religious groups should take in addressing them.
The ecology is in crisis because emissions of carbon dioxide are excessive to the point where temperatures are rising, sea level is rising, the icebergs in Antarctica and in the Arctic Circle are melting. We have a situation where the coral reefs are being leached. We have flooding because rainfall is coming. When it falls for short periods so that crops cannot grow. We are having longer and severe droughts. And the consequence of all this is that the poorest communities, particularly in the tropics, are endangered.
During the summit, Archbishop Wedgrid delivered a speech titled "Hope is a Desire for Something to Happen."
I think so many people are scared of change, scared of what we face with the climate change. It's important to discuss these issues together on an interfaith basis, and I think that religion carries a strong torch of hope. If you are to discuss these issues among religious people, you cannot limit yourself to only Christians, because we are living with each other all over the world. And even though religions are different, we have some core values that are also common. For example, the respect for your fellow man, not only limited to who is your close neighbor, but to people far away, and also to people belonging to other generations, those coming after us.
For delegates to the Interfaith Climate Summit, cherishing our environment and all species is not only an issue of survival for humanity, but also a core issue closely related to spirituality and ethics.
Ma vision, c'est que on reconsidère notre façon de nous comporter avec cette planète et qu'on réfléchisse à une nouvelle philosophie de vie qui tienne compte de la dimension spirituelle qui rattache l'homme à son environnement.
And we have accompanied the climate negotiations of the UN for many years since the beginning. And we have emphasized that a climate debate is not just a matter of political power and economic interests. It's a matter of spirituality and ethics. It has to do with how we treat each other, how we regard other people, how we regard other species, and also how we treat future generations.
I think the basic message from God is that there should be a balance and a harmony, and that harmony has been offset because of our short-sightedness, and that we have a responsibility to handle together. But I think it's important to spread the word that there is a future. God expects us to make use of the best possible knowledge and not to isolate ourselves into ourselves, but really realize that life is about relation to each other.
They have so many people who listen to them and respect them. if they bring the whole climate change issue up on the agenda and into their reality and into their discussions with people, I think it can make a change. I think that they can also bring a different angle to the discussions we have. I hope it will be a matter about the moral and ethical principles also, and I hope they can bring the rest of the world into the picture and the future into the picture. Discuss what are we going to do with God's creation.
During the summit, the delegates discussed a series of issues regarding faith, the environment, and common values shared between various cultures and religions.
You cannot only speak to others, you also have to look into your own tradition, see what it actually says about your relation to creation, to nature. And very often we have changed our interpretation through the ages and become less responsible, less part of what is actually the setting that we are created out of in all religions. We spoke about the importance of the local presence that there is in all religions. They are more local than most politics. They relate to actual situations. And for us, of course, it was very important to have underlined the fragile situation that many people live under on low coasts, low islands, and so on, where flooding and other devastating changes are taking part. We said that religions are, of course, entities. But when it comes to basic measures like this, we really find that we can stand shoulder to shoulder when it comes to defending the rights of both humans and creation, and trying to express what we mean is sacred, something that we are called upon to hand on to new generations. Be good stewards, but also hand on. We talked about the importance of the relation between religion and science. We also underlined how important it is to dare to speak out. And then we, of course, discussed how do we now go on with the manifesto, how do we reach out to different governments, different bodies, and we recognized, of course, that this is one out of many interfaith and climate initiatives that relate to religions.
When Planet Earth, Our Loving Home, returns, we will hear from other delegates' views on how religion can be applied to help curb climate change. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. We'll be right back after these brief messages. Welcome back to Planet Earth, Our Loving Home, featuring the Interfaith Climate Summit in Uppsala, Sweden. Approximately 1,000 delegates representing different religious groups from the five continents attended the summit, which called upon the global community, especially developed countries, to take timely and effective action to curb climate change and prevent extreme weather caused by global warming. At the conclusion of the conference, 26 world faith leaders signed the Uppsala Interfaith Climate Manifesto and pledged to use all possible means to take and share responsibility for providing moral leadership within their various faith traditions and for others who so desire. The manifesto was delivered to the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, or UNFCCC, and the Swedish government, as well as to governments and religious groups around the world.
Enfin, il y a deux niveaux de réflexion pour trouver des solutions à ces changements climatiques. un premier niveau au niveau du comportement de l'individu, du groupe et de la communauté, et un deuxième niveau au niveau des décideurs politiques et économiques. Et les spirituels, les religieux, peuvent apporter un plus pour la modification du comportement et pour une nouvelle orientation des stratégies politiques et économiques.
There are three measures that need to be taken. The first is precaution. We must do our things, including industrialization and urbanization, in such a way that we do not endanger ourselves, we do not endanger other people, other cultures, other nations, we do not endanger other species, because we were not created alone, and we must not endanger future generations. This is a priority. The second measure that has to be taken is mitigation. That is to correct the damage already caused. And the third one is adaptation, where the most vulnerable communities especially have to adapt. Already in the Pacific, there are islands that have already been submerged because of the rise in sea level. Already in those islands which are coral, where fish survive because of corals, the corals have already died. We are talking about the survival of communities who have been already adversely affected. In Africa, most of Africa, the regular seasons have already been completely messed up. And for the majority of the people in Africa, we can no longer be able to rely on rain-fed agriculture because the rains are no longer reliable. So there has to be adaptation if these communities are to survive. And it is very important that those who have the resources will have to accompany these vulnerable communities in order to survive.
The signatories of the manifesto urge political and religious leaders to bear responsibility for the future of our planet and the living conditions and habitat preservation of new generations.
On ne peut pas chasser pour le plaisir. On ne peut pas, pour un gain financier, détruire toute une faune. Cela est strictement interdit par les principes de l'islam. L'islam respecte la nature et la nature est sacrée pour les musulmans. Et donc il y a tout un code comportemental vis-à-vis des animaux et vis-à-vis de tous les êtres qui font partie de cette nature. Et il est regrettable de constater que dans le monde actuel, le code de consommation dominant de la planète va à l'encontre des principes du respect de la nature, des animaux, de la flore, de la faune, etc. Et donc nous appelons vivement à ce que tous les citoyens de cette planète respectent cette nature.
In the United Nations 2006 report, it stated that meat production emitted more greenhouse gases than all of transportation combined. One of the most potent gases produced from livestock raising is methane, which is 72 times more potent than carbon dioxide over a 20-year lifespan.
Methane is a very, very powerful greenhouse gas, and it is important that we keep that under control as well. And I think this has to be part of any climate policy to look at methane as well. This is, of course, something for agricultural policy, etc., in all nations.
One of the main messages of the Interfaith Climate Summit 2008 is one of hope, as well as action, to save our planet. Archbishop Anders Wedgwood stated in his speech, "Our faith traditions provide a basis for hope and reasons for not giving up."
That God's will may be done, which means that there is bread and life, and that the will of God will govern us more clearly in all our actions.
We conclude today's program with an excerpt from the Uppsala Interfaith Climate Manifesto as follows. "With a sense of wonder, we look at life on planet Earth. It is a miracle and a gift. clear nights with the sky full of stars fill us with awe. It reminds us of our role in the universe. We have many reasons to be humble. Meditating on the seashore, in the desert, or in the forest allows us to feel one with the universe, yet we are so small. Faith traditions with diverse cultures and backgrounds converge to express wonder and awe at the gift of life. Thank you for joining us on today's Planet Earth, Our Loving Home. Our show airs every Wednesday on Supreme Master Television. Up next, stay tuned for enlightening entertainment right after noteworthy news. May our beautiful Earth continue to exist in love, beauty, and respect between all beings.